All over the U.S., there are communities that have served as starting points for new immigrants for generations. One of those places is East Boston, just down the road from our studio. Over the years, East Boston has been a home for Irish, Russian, and Jewish newcomers to this country, and more recently, immigrants from Central and South America. But East Boston's tradition as an immigrant haven might be changing with rising housing costs, and that could spell the end for one unique community. Here's Rupa Shenoy of the Otherhood podcast with a story.
In an East Boston restaurant, people speak Spanish with a particular accent. It's from a small Colombian mountain town called Don Matias. Jorge Carballo's from the same region.
The first time that I came to East Boston, I step out of the car, and the first thing I heard, and I promise you, was people speaking from one side of the street to the other side of the street with the accent of my region. And I was like, oh my God, where am I?
Caraballo is a graduate student, and he's doing his master's on the unique way people from Don Matias recreated their community in East Boston. People now say there are more Don Matians here than in Colombia, and they feel at home because they're surrounded by their language, their food, their grocery stores, with the added benefit of more opportunities and higher pay. All this came about because of a string of events that started in the 1960s. Back then,
Don Matias was this little village with agricultural economy.
It was a quiet town centered around the local church. Then a priest devoted to a new, seemingly radical philosophy, liberation theology, helping the poor, was assigned to Don Matias. And the town became an unlikely front line in the Catholic Church's internal struggle. The priest organized poor farmers, angering the handful of rich families. They asked the church to remove the priest. The New York Times and Time magazine did stories when the priest refused to leave and instead set up his own services, school, and workers' cooperative.
International media looked at this little village battle as an example of the battles inside the church, where leftist priests, revolutionary priests, were standing with the poor.
Eventually, there was violence. A rich man was killed. Wealthy families fled the town. And Don Matias's economy died. People started relocating to Massachusetts, where they could find work. Moving to East Boston became a kind of coming-of-age tradition in Don Matias. And they're still coming, some without documentation, like Daniela. We're not using her full name. Daniela talks about coming here 3 years ago to be with her boyfriend and staying to work at a wire transfer business, bakery, and grocery store. Remittances from Don Matians in East Boston have rejuvenated their hometown. Daniela says family back home in Don Matias are constantly asking her to send name brand and designer stuff, sometimes because someone else on their street with a relative in East Boston has it. Unfortunately, money's tight here. Boston is one of the most expensive rental markets in the country. Daniela pays $650 a month to share a three-bedroom apartment, plus utilities and internet service. And she doesn't know how long she can afford to stay. Don Matias transplant Adrian Cadavid owns Café Guigú here. Jorge Caraballo translates this bit.
He's a leader, a community leader, and he thinks about this a lot because he says that this diversity, Latino diversity, is what makes this neighborhood nice and rich. So that's beginning to get lost.
Cadavid says there's only one way to combat gentrification. Wealthier Don Matians like him, who own businesses and homes, have to resist selling to developers who want to put up more luxury condo buildings that, in turn, drive poor Don Matians out. Otherwise, just as the original Don Matias is coming back to life, the East Boston Don Matias could be slipping away. For The World, Rupa Shenoy, East Boston.